Hey, this is Dan Marino.
Hi, Ryan Tannehill from the Dolphins here.
Hi, this is Larry Zonka.
This is Mark Super Duper.
I'm John Offerdahl.
This is Paul Warfield.
Hi, this is Nick Bonacani.
This is Jake Scott.
Gary Apremian.
Dick Anderson.
Larry Little.
Tom Vicarito.
Don Nottingham.
Otto Stowe.
Mike Colan.
Doug Kerzan for the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins.
This is Marlon the Magician Briscoe.
And Jim Crash Jensen.
This is Don Shula, and I listen to the Pat Cotillo Show.
It's the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Cotillo. Join us now as we talk Dolphin football or call in live with your questions or comments. And now here's your host, Pat Cotillo.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. I'm your host, Pat Cotillo. I will be joined shortly alongside Rich Van Zandt as we recap the Miami Dolphins' victory as they beat the New York Jets, sweeping the New York Jets this year, may I add. Did I mention that they swept the New York Jets this year? 13-6 in what was certainly a defensive football game, a very poor offensive football game on both sides for sure, reminiscent of some games that we had experienced in the past, and most notably, starting from the get-go, the condition of the field with the rain and the drainage system. So, of course, we had to hear about the A.J. Dewey Mud Bowl AFC Championship game, which I don't mind. To be honest with you, when they bring that up and the Jet fans bring that up, I enjoy it. I really like it because there's no downside as a Dolphin fan for that. That's one of the greatest memories I have all time. As a football fan, as a sports fan, certainly as a Dolphin fan, and living in the New York area, even at the time, you know, that's just a fantastic memory for me. So anytime they bring that up, I welcome it. And of course, you have the highlights and everything that come with that, and that's just an added treat for me. And the Dolphins beat them three times that year, so let's not forget that. Everybody seems to not mention that, but three times the Dolphins beat the Jets. So I would say when you beat a team three times in a football year, you're the better team. So I have no problem with that, and it was reminiscent of that, and you've seen the whole entourage and everything take place there, and so the game begins, and this was, I guess at the very least, this was a game to solidify second place in the AFC East as the New England Patriots win again. They take their record to 7-2. The Dolphins go to 5-4, and they solidify themselves as second place. I don't know if that's what they wanted to do. We've talked about that for many years on this show, being able to do that. They're in that position now, but unfortunately, they take a step back as far as being, you know, the front runner or competing, and I think it's slowly slipping away as the Dolphins will go to Green Bay now. The Green Bay losing to New England in New England last night on Sunday Night Football. Now the Dolphins will go out there, and we'll see how that shakes out. But me and Rich have talked about the schedule and how, you know, it's a difficult second half of the schedule. So you're off to a good start there, there's a lot of problems here, and there's a lot of question marks. Brock Osweiler, very mediocre day. I'd probably give him a C. I guess you could give him a C-. I'm curious where Rich stands on it. You're the backup quarterback. I mean, that's basically what you are, and so I don't know how anybody could expect much more. I think he's done a decent job backing up there. But it was a mediocre day. It was a poor offensive day, and there's some side stories as well with Rashad Jones leaving the game, and we have some more insight on that. So without further ado, let's get Rich in here. Rich, I guess we start off, like I said, 5-4, certainly better than a lot of people, including yourself, had pictured the team at this point. They take second place, firmly in the division with the sweep of the Jets now and Buffalo just playing poorly. But let's be honest, I don't think that's what anybody was really shooting for. And of course, New England now seems like they're running on all cylinders, I guess.
Yeah, it's a winning record at this point, but do you think this is one of the better teams in the league?
No. I don't think they're one of the better teams.
There you just answered your own question. You know,
anyway,
I mean,
what was my question?
It's
what was my question?
That they have five wins, but, I mean, I'm not impressed with this team. I mean, if they played anybody good yesterday, they would have got killed.
What was my question, though, that you just answered? I don't know what my question was. My question was basically, do you think that the Dolphins
said,
are happy?
You know, what do you think about you know, they have more wins than you expected going in?
Well, no. My question was that they've taken a foothold of being the second best team in the division was my question. We've talked about that for years, and you know they've seemed to have done that, but you know I don't know if that's really was you know the goal of anybody. Right, I don't think it does. You know, I mean it's you know it's the best of the worst, if you will. You know, because I think some teams have recessed in the division, meaning basically
Buffalo.
You know
what's amazing though, right? Like, we love when we beat the Jets. I mean, this has basically turned into our Super Bowl nowadays. You know?
Yeah.
It's the only thing we have
right.
to look forward to, really. And,
right.
And the circus comes to town again. You know? You can't get away from it. Right? It starts with the field thing, which turned out to be a non-issue. And then,
right.
you know, arguably our best defensive player quits. I mean,
yeah.
you can't make this stuff up.
No, it's not accidental either, because it's too many year in year out things with this organization and the circus atmosphere that seems to surround it all the time. And this one was bizarre, just another bizarre story that's trickling out. And I guess since you jumped right in there, of course I was going to bring that up. You know, Rashad Jones did take him. What it's saying now is they're basically Gase is saying that he took himself out of the game. And they're being very sketchy with the reason why, and they had a meeting today, and Adam Gase's quotes, the last that I've heard, is that they're on the same page. He will be playing in Green Bay. He's investigating other things to see what, you know, what his issues were, and it appears as though it's a coaching, another coaching situation where he was unhappy with some coaches.
He was a platoon player, and he was coming in and out of the game, missing series. Remember, we were like, "Why isn't he in there?" Remember,
right.
that was even
right.
before. Like they were subbing him in and out, and then he just quit. He's like, "Are you kidding me?" I mean, God, they don't know how to handle anything.
I mean, I guess there's a couple ways of looking at that. Yeah, I don't know why he was going in and out, but we've talked about this with Minka Fitzpatrick. And, you know, you were saying that his role has diminished, and now they were basically promoting him and giving him more, and Jones is coming out. I don't really understand that.
Well, you shouldn't be taking Jones out of the game. The Jones shouldn't be the one coming out of the game. That's not the – I mean, McCain should be coming out of the game.
Well, McCain's a corner, but he's a corner.
I know, but they play him at safety, too. He was drafted as a safety, but they say he's like a rover, you know? He was drafted
McCain?
As a safety. No. No, Minka is a safety.
Right, right.
But they said that Minka can play corner also.
And he
he's
can,
like
and he has this
guy.
Year.
Yeah.
And he has.
Right.
He has done that.
Right.
I don't see why those two guys should ever have to flip-flop to be on the field. I agree. I think that's ridiculous. It just seems ridiculous. I don't, you know, even if one's a strong safety.
Over 1,000 yards? Would they give up over 1,000 yards through the air in 2 weeks? Something like that. It was some kind of nonsensical number, like 1024 or something like that.
Is that right?
So, yeah, some kind of crazy number they gave up. And, you know, this was Bates' way of fixing it. Like, this crazy rotation that he's got that, like, you know, obviously didn't handle it correctly.
This was the way of fixing it, or this was the
your best players? I mean, you got burned for that many yards. Why would you want one of your best players off the field?
You wouldn't. That's what I'm saying. I think what they're doing is they were basically promoting Minka Fitzpatrick to the strong safety role and taking Jones then – you know, out of his role, but rather than putting them both in the safety position as free and strong, you know, they chose to do that and leave their corners in a rotation. I don't know. The whole thing doesn't make any sense to me. It's very bizarre. I hadn't heard that 1,000 yards in the air thing that you said in two games. I hadn't heard that. So, you know, that's the first I heard there, and you're saying this is his way of fixing that, which doesn't make a lot of sense. Yesterday, I think they let up 200 yards in the air or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. The whole situation is very strange. It's just on top of everything else, which was a good defensive day. I mean, it's very hard to take. You know, you can't take it both ways. You have to acknowledge that the Dolphins let up 6 points, albeit you can say the Jets are not a good team, this and that, and I get that. But, you know, you have to acknowledge the defense let up 6 points. So they had a good showing defensively, but I think that this is a very strange circumstance, and I don't know if this was directed at Burke or at, you know, the secondary coach. I don't know. But it's very strange, and it's also strange – you know, you said that, you know, they were demoting Fitzpatrick, and now they're promoting Fitzpatrick.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You know, it just.
And I don't know why you would promote him.
His whole team.
Well, I don't know why you would demote him. How about that? I don't know why you would demote him.
This whole organization is just like a captainless ship drifting in the ocean. It just has no direction. It has no future. It's just haphazardly thrown together every year. You know, and all it is, it's just a money grab for the owner. That's all it is. That they think that they can have a plan in place to get this team to, you know, forget about a Super Bowl win. I mean, they can't even get a playoff run going. I mean,
but you're getting, I wouldn't say decent, but, you know, getting results. Like, let's face it. I mean, they're not a 1-15 team, nor have they been. So there are some results that have come. I mean, they made the playoffs 2 years ago. You know, they're better than a lot of teams in the NFL at this point. So it's not like they're piss poor, excuse my, you know, language. But, you know, obviously mediocrity is almost worse sometimes than being terrible and rebuilding. But, you know, the point I'm making that if you had record-wise, if you went around the league, Rich, I would say that, you know, they're better than 60 to 70% of their league, right? At 5-4?
Yeah, record-wise, yeah, sure.
Maybe more. I mean, maybe 75%.
I guarantee you they will be left in the dust by the teams behind them in the coming years.
Well, when you say teams behind them, what does that entail?
Teams,
I don't know what that...
Teams that they may be ahead of, like, record-wise, you know, because they're going to win... Well, they got 5 wins now. You figure the most they're going to win, if the light shined bright, would be 9. And I can't imagine that happening. I think they're in that flux between, you know, 6 and 8 wins at this point. I can't imagine it going higher than that with the schedule. And
they're not winning,
you know,
6 games.
Figure, what's
they're not winning 6 games. I don't think they're winning 6 games. I think they'll do better than that. Well,
like,
I mean,
what?
They're at 5-4 right now, you know, so I don't think they're going to be 6-. What's that?
They're not getting the double digits.
No, but I don't think they're going to be – listen, honestly, Rich, they play the Buffalo Bills twice, okay? They play the Indianapolis Colts. Okay? They play the Vikings and they play the Patriots, and I understand that. They play the Jaguars again. They play, you know. So, I get that. But my point is they're going to win 2 more games this year at least, I think. So I'm putting them in the 7-9 is where I think they're going to fall.
Yeah.
They're not going to be 6-10. But I think they're going to be 7-9 to 9-7. I think it falls somewhere in there.
So when they look back on this season, they have the Monday meeting after the season's over.
Right.
You think that's a good year?
Well, I think there's a couple factors that you have to take in. First of all, I think they're the most injured team in the entire league. So don't think that that's not going to become a factor and that's not going to be addressed. Because they are. They're the most starting injured team in the entire NFL. The injuries that this team has had are just ridiculous. But I think when you're looking at this year and what they did, yeah, you may come out of this year and say, you know what, they had a decent year for what they had to do. But I think when you look in the future, that's what I think you're referring to. The future does not seem as bright because there's a lot of question marks here. And one of them takes place at quarterback.
Of course it is. It's ridiculous. This was supposed to be Tannehill's either make or break year, right? Year 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
He may not play again this year. Who knows?
No.
Who knows? He may not get on the field. You're going to go into year 8 without knowing what he's got, and he won't be here next year. They're going to have to start from scratch again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe he'll be back. Do you?
Back this year or back next year?
Back next year. I don't think he'll bring
I told you all year I think that I think that the Ryan Tannehill era is most likely coming to an end. I don't know the entire contract ramifications because he still has another year next year, right?
Yeah.
So, you know,
I think he's got more than 1 year left, but I think they can cut him without a huge penalty this year.
I think you're right. I think they definitely have an easy out clause, and so they can do that. Now, as far as whether or not he's going to be back on the field this year, it's bizarre. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's really bizarre. It's very very similar to the same knee injury.
They said they're going to make the decision by Wednesday this week.
It reminds me a tremendous amount of the knee injury. And it's day to day, week to week. Oh yeah, did we tell you he's gonna miss the rest of this year, and he's gonna miss all next year? Like that's literally what we went through, and it seems as bizarre as that. And I do like Ryan Tannehill, and I think he had a lot of potential and could do a lot of things. There's one thing you can't take away from Ryan Tannehill: he wins. When he plays, he wins. He's got one of the highest winning percentages. The guy wins. I think he's something like 12-4 in his last 16 games, you know? The guy does win when he plays, but it just seems that he is just, you know, aloof. I don't know. I see him on the sideline.
My big problem with Ryan Tannehill is even when he has a great game, right? You know, and a great game for him isn't like a Marino great game. We all know that.
No.
It's not even comparable. But, you know, you look at the numbers at the end, and he's got 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, and 190 yards.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he can win in this league like that anymore.
Well, but my point, I didn't say he does anything special. I said he wins. That's what I said he does.
No.
He wins.
I got that point. But you know what I'm saying? It just seems like we both like the guy to an extent.
To an extent,
I'm really falling out of liking him a little bit, if you know what I mean.
And I guess
I am too. I just think we're protecting him too much. If he was on another team, we would just go, he stinks, and that's it. You know?
Right.
I just don't think you can win in the league. Like, it takes too long for him to score. The drives take too long. You know, I don't know. He's not able to throw the out pass. Seems that every pass he throws, the guy's waiting for the ball. You know, he's just stopped waiting for it. There's no yards after the catch with him, it seems. It's time to move on. That's my point.
Well, look, you know what I brought up last week, and I stick to that. I had a problem with the tweet or whatever, and I stick to that. And you've seen him on the sidelines this week. It just doesn't seem like it's a big deal to him. I may be reading him wrong. Maybe that's just the way he is. Maybe he's just a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. We've met him a few times. You know, that is the way that he is. I know, like, you know, not a lot bothered. But, you know, it kind of irks me. Like, you know, it makes it seem like, hey, you know, this is what I do. I enjoy playing football. You know, if I'm there, I'm there. We win. You know, it just seems like it's bothering us a lot more than it is him a lot of times. And
he got paid. You know, I mean, he got paid. So he doesn't have that hanging over him, you know?
No, and it does bother me, like, you know, to a degree, that whole situation. It really does. Yeah. I mean, it's just – but taking that away, you know, as far as the on-the-field stuff, you know, he's where he's at. At this point, you would have thought that he would have been a Pro Bowl caliber football player. But you know what, Rich, to be quite honest with you, if you look around that whole draft class, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even if you were Andrew Luck and you were an Indianapolis Colts fan right now, you have to be disappointed with that too. I mean, with the exception of Russell Wilson, who wasn't supposed to really do anything, obviously turned out to be the best out of the bunch, winning Super Bowls going back to back. With the exception of that, and Kirk Cousins, who was taken much later, you know, I mean, that whole draft class has been very disappointing. Andrew Luck really didn't amount to anything. RG3 with the injuries didn't do anything. Tannehill at this stage of the game and missing a year and a half, you know, I don't know that you recover from that. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the Dolphins obviously are going to have to look a different direction, because I don't think the team's where it needed to be. If you take this team, if this team was on a high caliber right now of let me give you an example. If the team was where Jacksonville was last year, you know, the run that they had, I think he would have been fine to steer that ship and probably have the same result as Jacksonville had. You know, I think he's that kind of guy. He's not going to kill your team, but, you know, he's certainly not going to bring you up above and beyond, right, where, you know, he would.
Yeah, I got you. I know what you're saying. But you know what's weird in this league? There's really not progression, you know? Like, look at Jacksonville. They were, like, you know, a quarter away from going to the Super Bowl last year, and they're struggling hard this year.
Because you know what it comes down to, Rich, in all honesty? The teams that are always good are always good. And every year, there's new teams that, like, they make a run, but they're really not good. They just make a run at it. You know, like, is Minnesota, you really think Minnesota's like this Super Bowl team like everybody? Yeah, they had a great run last year. Are they as good as everybody says? Are you fearful of Minnesota? Yeah. Jacksonville's the same way. They had a great run. But are they really that good? What does it come down to? New England, Pittsburgh, right? It's the same team every year. It really is. The only team, and I could say Kansas City, but Kansas City has been a good team for two decades. They just don't win playoff
games. They just don't win in the postseason. Yeah, right.
So, you know, nothing really changes in this league, and that's what's so aggravating. Right. Like the Philadelphia Eagles, they had a great run. They won a Super Bowl. Are they a great team? You know, yeah, they're really good, but who knows? They're having a terrible year. Not a terrible year, but they're having an off year. I mean, you know. They're having an off year. It comes down to the same themes year after year. All right, hold that thought, buddy. We'll take a quick break right back after this.
This is Don Shula. Happy to be on the Pat Cotillo Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance while playing for the Miami Dolphins in 1975. Don recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit him at www.donnottinghamins.com. And now back to your Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Cotillo.
She went away and then I took a
Welcome back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. Pat Catello, Rich Van Zandt, as we recap the Miami Dolphins victory over the New York Jets 13-6 last week. And just a reminder, catch us on iTunes. Just go right to the iTunes store. You can get our latest episodes delivered right onto your phone. And you can send us any questions, comments, patcatelloshow@yahoo.com. So, you know, Rich, as we're talking about, you know, the same teams year in, year out, it just becomes very frustrating. I think that, you know, we had kind of a feeling that, you know, if they were able to take dominance of their division, at least to be the second best team. Yeah, but we've been saying that for 20 years almost. And the New England Patriots, they just don't seem to miss a beat. They're clicking on all cylinders again. It's basically like, you know, 3-4 teams in the whole league. I'm not even going to say in each conference, because really it's the same 3 or 4 teams, it seems, every year that are in competition, and then you have one or two surprise one-year wonders, right? But there's not really another young team that I see, with the exception of one, and I've been saying it a long,
correct,
long time. Yeah. And now, you know, I bring that as our foresight, because obviously the last undefeated team has lost this year, and so it's a celebration of the 1972 Miami Dolphins, once again the only undefeated team in the history of the NFL, and that's a special thing, and this organization has been holding on to that for a long time. So I don't want to be remiss on that, because that is a very special thing, and me and you look forward to that every year, and we have it this year. But you know, that Ram team, I said they were going to be, you know, something to fear, and they're doing it faster than we even thought.
They have they're doing it faster. They also have a very weak schedule. Very weak.
I haven't really looked at their schedule. Is it that weak?
Oh, their division's awful. I was saying all year, when are they going to play somebody that's good? You know,
yeah.
Finally. And you know, and the Saints almost blew that.
Yeah, they did. I don't know how good the Saints are. You know, I it's obviously it's Drew Brees, but they do look like they're better than I thought they were. And maybe they will make another run at an NFC title, because last year they obviously lost that miracle game to Minnesota. So, you know, maybe they are ready to make another run to represent the NFC.
Well, you know, if they get home field advantage, I mean, it's a very tough place to beat them.
It is. It is. My money would still be on the Rams to get that home field advantage out of those two, but who knows? I mean, they got the head-to-head right now, and they're not. The New Orleans would be a little ahead, right? I mean, they got that head-to-head victory,
yeah,
so.
Right, because they're head-to-head. Sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. But other than the Rams, I guess is my point, how many new teams do you see that you are like, they're going to be around for a long time? Not that many.
None of them. No. None.
Right?
No.
And that's that.
Well, like I said, I think there's a – I don't think it's an accident that the good teams are good. I think they're built that way. The owners care about winning, and they go out and they have the right – apparatus in place in the front office. They draft well. They sign the right free agents, if any. You know, I don't think it's an accident. And I think there's other owners like ours that are out to make money. And I think that's his only agenda. And if he has an agenda winning, he certainly doesn't know how to go about it.
Okay, I agree with you on that. But there are teams that have that winning mentality that don't have the success, though. You got to say that.
Well, they just they don't know how to do it. But I think there's plenty of owners in this league that are just looking to get the money, the revenue.
Does Jerry Jones not know how to do it?
I think that, personally, him being the GM is probably holding that team back, because I think he's too involved. I think that, you know, he knows, I think deep down he knows what to do, but he's too much of a control freak, and I think he's hindering, you know, the progress of that team.
But let me ask you a question, though. And you might be right about that, because a lot of people say that. And I can't argue that. But if you look at his draft picks in the last years or whatever, then they're not bad, right?
No,
I mean, he got
some good ones.
He's got himself a quarterback. He's got himself a top-notch running back. He's got the best offensive line in football last year. This year, they're still very good. You know, receiver-wise, obviously, they've had, you know, issues. My point is, he hasn't made –
they just used the first-round pick to get Cooper.
Which I think
so
was
we'll
a mistake. They made a mistake
out.
There. That's a big mistake. You want to talk about a GM move? That was a huge mistake, I think. You don't give up a one for him. I don't believe you do. He's not that type of player.
This is their excuse. I'm not condoning it, but this is their excuse. Now, listen, doesn't mean I agree with it. They said they looked at the draft board for next year of the receivers, and Amari Cooper is better than anybody that would go in the first round.
Well, that might be true, but you know what? You don't draft the receiver then next year in the first round.
I got you, but you know look, they neglected that position a long time. They really don't have a number one guy.
No, they don't. They don't. But you know, when you look at them, right? When you look at the Dallas Cowboys, right? They're at 3-4 right now. Are they winning the Super Bowl? I'm not so sure they are. I don't believe they are. So you're making a move like that. You know, I'll be quite honest with you. You know, re-signing Dez Bryant for the next 8 games would have been a better move than that.
Yeah, there's issues there that was never.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. I'm not saying they're going to do that. I'm sure there was bad blood, and that's why he left. But you can get other receivers out there. You know, you can get a receiver to finish the year and whatnot. They could have traded for Devontae Parker. They probably could have got him for a third round pick, maybe even less. So
yeah. No,
I think that was a bad move.
A guy like Jerry Jones, you know, he wants to win, but I think that his new system, that him running the show, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
that's the way. Like, I don't think he has anybody in that front office with him that's going to say no to him.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He doesn't, and that's been a problem.
That's different than our guy, you know.
It is. The only point I guess I was making with that is that I think he's doing a better job than a lot of teams drafting wise. You know, but yeah, he doesn't answer to anybody, and there is issues there. I understand that, but that's the guy who does want to win, like you said, you know. And
believe me, you want to trade right now? I'm driving him to Miami.
I agree. I'd rather have an owner like him who would basically cut his left hand off to win, you know,
Yep.
You know, as opposed to the other that, you know, we see right through, and it's more, you know, like the NFL announced what? They're going to have how many games in London again next year? And me
they
and
added another
said,
one, so I think that makes
what,
5 next year.
Yeah, and what did me and you say? What time are we playing?
It is breaking news, Miami Dolphins fans. If you're a season ticket holder, don't make plans for 8 home games next year, okay? Because one of them is going to be given away, and you're going to be hosting in London next year. Guaranteed.
Yeah, which is like we said, we both answered the same thing. You know, what time do we play next year? That's what it's going to come. Because you know that, you know, he's going to take. Yeah, you know he's going to take the money and he's going to be in that game and most likely, like you said, I mean he gave up a home game last time. Will he have to give it up again? I don't know, but you know, depending on what the compensation is, there's probably a good chance they will. You know, I could see the meeting now. Well, you know, you want the Super Bowl in 2021, right? So, you know, that's 100%. Obviously.
You know it's gone. You know that. It's just such a joke. It really is.
Yeah. I know.
You see New England going over there?
Not only don't see them, I've never seen them go over there. They went that one time to because they're looking to win. They have a totally different agenda. And it really irks me.
Yep.
Yeah,
well,
it really irks me.
They never play a tough national game out of Foxborough.
I was saying it all night, and me and you talk about it all the time. You know what? I'm tired of it. Because you send them on the road to play Buffalo on a Thursday night? Really? Really? Every big game that they have, every important game that they have nationally, they are always at home. and it's ridiculous.
Yep.
I was saying the same thing, you know. Buffalo should have traveled up there, and they should be in Green Bay. And there was another game before that. There was the Chiefs, I believe, right, was a night game. And, of course, they're up in New England. I mean, come on now. You know, it really does get frustrating.
It is a joke. Yeah. They pander to this team left and right.
They do, which is it's so weird, too, because obviously there's so much friction with Goodell in them, but it still seems like, you know, they're so afraid of it. The NFL is very strange. I mean, the NFL hates Jerry Jones. He's threatening to sue them, and he gets himself in the Hall of Fame. It's bizarre.
Yep.
I mean, that might be the greatest feat in the last 100 years. I got to tip my hat to
Al Davis, too. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, but the difference is, Al Davis, hands down, should be in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? Hands down, Al Davis has to be in the Hall of Fame. He was the AFL commissioner. He was a major importance to the merge. He won Super Bowl.
He waited until 1992.
Yeah, but that's because of Roselle, right? I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
and I'm not saying Jerry Jones shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but the way that he was able to do that now, as it just that, hats off, man. That's the greatest move I've seen in the last, I don't know how long, that he was able to do that.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, you know. And then you have Goodell fighting with the Patriots, and then you know, and then they still seem to pander to them, and it's kind of crazy, but. New England, you know, Rich, I think that our game with them was a turning point, and they haven't looked back since. You can't deny that. They were playing terrible going into that game.
Yeah.
If the Dolphins beat them, it's probably a different scenario, but they didn't, and that team has not looked back since.
Yeah, what do you think the difference would have been? They would have one more loss, and we'd have one more win.
Well, I'm not saying that, but I think that if the Dolphins would have beaten them, the New England Patriots might have had a different season. They seem like now, after that game, they really got it together, and it's very
aggravating. You don't think they would have caught us by now?
Of course I do. But, you know, no, not by now I don't think they would have, because you would have had a three-game lead if you won that game.
Yeah.
You would have had a three-game lead, so, you know. But I don't know. Yeah, it would have come. I got what you're saying. I know that the Patriots are here and the Dolphins are here. The Dolphins are much closer to the Jets and the Bills than they are to the Patriots.
Very good. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Now, looking ahead, you know, the Dolphins, they're going to go to Green Bay. We just argued that the Patriots didn't have to go to Green Bay yesterday, but of course the Dolphins will. So they'll take their 5-4 record.
A team that just came off the worst loss of their last 5 years on national TV, and we have to go up there and play. Isn't that wonderful?
Aaron Rodgers has fumes coming out of his nostrils right now. He is as pumped. If you're going to see him bounce back.
They had the worst loss in their history 2 weeks in a row with the guy running out of the end zone. Then they got humiliated last night. So they're coming off back-to-back humiliating losses. And who do they got to look at?
I'll tell you what it reminds me of. The Dolphins remind me of Michael Spinks entering the ring to face Mike Tyson next Sunday.
Yeah.
That's what I see right now.
Yeah.
That's what they appear to be.
You know,
in
a tomato
the ring.
Can that's flying up to Wisconsin. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
No doubt. All right, we'll wrap it up right after that.
Look at yesterday's game, right? How bad is our offense? I mean, we scored 6 points. Without that pick six, we're probably in overtime with this Jet team.
Yeah, the offense was stagnant. All right, hold that thought. We'll wrap it up with that right after this.
When ordering food, you find out what she wants, then order for the both of you. It's a classy move. Now, the lady will have the linguine and white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice.
Hey, this is Robert Roman. It's Mike DeMone from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I'd like to chat, but I'm really kind of busy. I'm listening to the Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show, sponsored by Iberia Tiles, with locations from Georgia to South Florida. Iberia Tiles offers over 3,000 products and complete peace of mind, from tiles, molasses, and stone to wood flooring, Iberia has the solution no matter what the size of your project. Visit IberiaTiles.com. That's I-B-E-R-I-A. And ask for Dave or call direct at 404-409-0746. And Fanatics.com. If you love the Miami Dolphins, then you need to visit Fanatics.com. Once again, that's Finn, P-H-I-N. And now back to your Miami Dolphins Legends Show with your host, Pat Catello.
Life is strange. I'm moving in stereo.
Miami Dolphins Legends Show. I'm Pat Catello, joined alongside Rich Van Zant as we come to our final stretch. Rich, you know, you said how was the Dolphins' offense? Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Listen, I'm the kind of guy that, you know, week to week, you know, I don't really hold one game because teams are going to stutter, and it, obviously that was wet condition game. The Dolphin offense wasn't really able to do much at all. I mean, Osweiler, 15 for 24, 139 yards, and that's it. No touches, no picks. Gore, 53 yards, I think. Amendola and those guys had, you know, like, I think everybody had under 50 yards. So it was a dismal day for the offense, there's no doubt. But it was a dismal day for the Jets offense as well. You know, where does the Dolphin offense stand? I think they are... They're an offense that has had injuries like crazy. And, you know, you've seen what they were able to do at certain times during the year. They've lost all of that. You know, Stills had his one catch, but he's hurt. Wilson out for the year. But, you know, I think that they're a team that can do certain things. You've seen when New England went up to Buffalo, they did nothing for 3.5 quarters. On offense. So it does happen, but, you know, I don't know what you expect at this point. I mean, Brock Osweiler, you know, he is what he is. I mean, I think he's doing a decent job as a backup quarterback for a guy who said they were going to cut him, you know, in training camp, you know. To have Tannehill just go down like this, I mean, he's 2-2. He is what he is, but, you know, I don't know what else you get out of him, you know. He's going to be what he is. He's going to have a game where you're like, wow. And then he's going to have other games when you're like, yeah, that's Brock Osweiler, you know. The Chicago game.
I think the play calling's atrocious. I think it could be better, you know.
Well, you know, you brought up a good point, you know, and we were watching the game, and it was Damon brought up a good point. Basically what it comes down to is it seems like Gase, he does his plays, right, and he calls in the play. And then he has the next play ready to go without ever realizing that maybe that play wasn't successful. And so he does that play, and then he runs this next play, which is not indicative that you lost 2 yards on the last play. You know what I mean? And it seems like he does do that. Like he's not in the moment. And enough with the writing and the chart and the writing all the time. They're losing 42-6 with 1:48 left, and he's writing on the chart, looking down. What are you doing?
I don't know.
What could you be writing there? A 5-letter word for a racehorse? What are you looking at? What are you doing?
I wish he was writing his resignation letter. I wish that's what he was writing.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know what I mean? It just seems like you want to be too studious, but I don't know. Does this seem like there's any in-the-moment thoughts or play calling? It seems like it's all planned out.
And
we're
going to
do this, then we're going
to
do that.
That's what he loves doing is play calling. He'll never give that up. So that's what you got to look forward to.
Yeah, no, he'll never give that up. That's very true. That's never going away. There's no doubt about that. I got you on that. But, you know, that's what it seems like to me, you know. And so a lot of times, you know, there is no fluency, and a lot of times you see this offense and they just basically, I don't know, they are so predictable, and, you know, when you stop them in a certain fashion, it just seems very easy to just continue to stop them in a lot of ways, you know. So, Green Bay, you know, it's going to be a tough place to play. Are they going to be able to do some stuff there? Yeah, but you do have to worry about what Aaron Rodgers is going to do.
Yeah, I mean, you really think our offense can keep up with him?
No, I don't think our offense can keep up with them.
We're going to have major problems with their defense. I think Clay Matthews is going to have a field day with us.
He might, yeah. I mean, it can go in a couple different ways, right?
Yeah.
And depending on how that goes, you know, well, it could be in a lot of trouble. But you know how that goes.
So, team coming off of two major losses, and it just like you were like a sacrificial lamb going up there to right this season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the matchup now, especially since they've lost these two games in the way that they've lost them. That's what you're saying.
No.
I don't like it.
Oh, it's horrible. It's one of the worst case scenarios I could think of.
Yeah, well, I could think of worse, but yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. I'm going to Foxborough again. Right?
Yeah. Hey, you're breaking up a little bit, Rich. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I said we could be going to Foxborough again.
I heard you say something about Foxborough, I think. Yeah, you know, I think it comes down to, you know, the Dolphins have to worry about the Dolphins at this point. They are obviously a team that is very inconsistent. They managed to take a lead out of the gate, and you say, wow, this team might do something. And then they fall right back to where they were, and then they get to a pivotal game that is like a two-game swing, and they lose. And then they win again, and they start building it up again, and they get to another pivotal game that's a huge swing in their season, and they lose. And then they drop back again, and then they win another game, and they get to, and that's where they are again. They're 5-4 now. They're at another pivotal game, albeit it's not the pivotal game that it was up in New England, and it's not the other pivotal game that they played a couple weeks ago where they could have really, but it's a good team that they're not supposed to win. Can they go two games over 500? You know, or are they just going to pop back again to the 500 mark and then fight it out and fight with 8-8 all the way through? And like we said, 8-8, you know, and then it's the final toss-up. Is it 7-9, 9-7, you know? That's where they seem to be. So I guess they got to concentrate on doing their own thing before they worry about Aaron Rodgers and what he can do and Clay Matthews and that whole defense. I think they just got to get back to basics and start playing good football, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if they're capable of doing it though. That's the problem. You know, I don't know with this personnel. Are they capable of playing better? I don't know. You know, they really haven't proved it to me that they can compete with the better teams in this league.
Yeah, you know? Rich seems to have a really bad connection. I don't know. I caught a couple things, but I think that again, it's seeing what, you know, doing what they can do well consistently. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. They show they can run the ball at times, but, you know, like yesterday, if I'm disappointed in anything yesterday, it's the running game. Because they show that they can run the football very successfully a lot of times during the year, but they certainly weren't successful running the ball yesterday. And that was a game that you would think they would be able to. But the offensive line's very banged up, I understand that. But they just seemed like they were very inconsistent running the ball yesterday.
Yeah, they couldn't run with a lick. Is that better now, by the way?
No, it's still sound like you're underwater, buddy. But yeah, I think that with Gore and Drake, who it shows at times they show that they can, you know, they can do some pretty good things. I mean, Gore has been very good. He's been a great pickup for this team. But here's what it comes down to: Gore was not supposed to be this guy. He was supposed to spell Drake. He was supposed to be not the backup to Drake, but he was supposed to be like a 1-2 punch. And yeah, at times when they first got him, he was supposed to be the backup to Drake. But what is so great about Drake? I mean, he does some good things time to time, but he's inconsistent and really doesn't do much, you know, on a consistent level game to game. I mean, does anybody fear Kenyon Drake? Do people go in there like really worried about, how are we going to stop Kenyon Drake? I don't think so. And I think what you see is Frank Gore is just a Hall of Fame running back. And you see how great he can be and how durable and tough that he can be. And, you know, but, you know, it was supposed to be an addition. And it seems like Gore's almost taken the lead role now, you know. And so even that I don't think is where it's supposed to be. Well, I think we've lost Rich, but, yeah, you know, and I don't like to be as, I don't like to be as down on this team because I think that there's, you know, there has been there's some bright spots, you know, and I think that they made a lot of moves. The number one thing I will say is that there has been so many injuries, and the injuries are so hard to withstand, and I think we got Rich back now. Rich, you know, I was saying on Drake, I don't think that Drake is, you know, this feared running back like they want to make him out to be.
He was a number two in college. I like him to spell, you know, Ajayi when we had Ajayi. I thought he
right.
was a good 1-2 punch that way. But I don't think
right.
he's the number one guy. No, I don't believe that. And I
right.
think they're making him out to be something that he's not. And he certainly got exposed this year to that.
Yeah, you're right. And we got you on a much better phone line. You sound fantastic now.
Cool. Okay.
You know, when I was saying, like, a little earlier, you know, when they – Frank Gore has been fantastic. What a great pickup. But when we got him, it wasn't supposed to be like the feature back Frank Gore. It was supposed to be to spell Kenyon Drake. And, you know, he was supposed
to,
if not be a backup, he was supposed to just spell. And now it's like he's the lead guy because Drake is just so inconsistent. And he has moments where he does good things. He's got a lot of speed. He's talented. You see him catch a pass every once in a while, and he goes for a touchdown, or you know, he breaks a big key third down to win a game on a 3rd-and-18. So he does do good things, but, you know.
But I think you hurt yourself when you run him up the middle. Okay, he's not a guy who's going to run between the tackles. You know,
yeah.
when you give him the ball on 3rd-and-1, you're just asking for trouble.
And I was also saying in that game, I was disappointed with the running game because the Jet game, that would be the game where you think our running game would have shined. I know the offensive line is very banged up and the field was a little, you know, soft. But I was disappointed that they weren't able to at least dominate on the ground a little bit better than
no.
they, because they've shown
horrible.
That they can do it. At times, you know, there's been times this year when they've certainly shown that they can, but not this game.
But, you know, like I said, I understand we have a ton of, you know, injuries on the offensive line, but, you know,
yeah.
our two major free agent replacements were in their 30s. You can't sign free agents in their 30s on the offensive line and expect these guys to play 16 games. It's
no,
not going to happen.
They didn't. Listen.
They didn't make it to 4. But, you know, and then, like, you know, now you got James has a patella tendon strain, and we don't know what's wrong with Tunsil now, right? He got hurt yesterday, too.
Tunsil got hurt, too, yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, that's a continuing problem. It's been a problem. Rich, the offensive line has been a problem for the last 8 years. Let's be honest.
More than that.
So even like moves that they've made, you know, the offensive line has been a problem. It
yeah.
just has. They don't seem to. They need to revamp that. They need to get some, you know, they need to get some solid young offensive line talent in there. I see them regressing in a lot of ways.
They've been trying to do that for a decade. They draft horribly when it comes to that.
Yeah, they don't draft well. But listen, Juwanie James has regressed. I thought he had a very good freshman year. His rookie year was excellent. I don't know what happened since then. Punzel seemed like he did a really good job the first year out of position, and now he's regressed, I believe.
Yep.
So
he's not the same.
He's not the same. So, you know, that's where it starts. And the defensive line, it was better yesterday than it's been, but it's been poor at best all year. And it was better.
It's been a sieve.
Yeah. Listen, there's two things that we have to point out, because you can't finish the show without at least giving credit where it's due, because we're very hard on these guys a lot of times, but Baker had a fantastic game.
He did.
He had a fantastic game, and I would love to see him. You know, he's very young. Maybe a guy like Baker could step up, you know. Maybe he will become the guy that, you know, we want him to be. And then also the defensive lineman I'm missing his name. Who the defensive lineman had a great game.
Spence?
What is it?
Spence.
Spence had a great game. So we, you know, let's tip our hats to both of those guys.
And your favorite player, Cameron Wake, had two and a half sacks.
Oh, you're giving him a half that's not credited that nobody else gave him. You're giving him another half. You're not satisfied with the two sacks.
Yeah. I don't even think he's in on the play. I'm giving it to him.
Take it. You might be the only that you have for a while. I hope not, but I'll give it to you. All right, everybody. That's our show for evening. We'll see you next week and see if all the Green Bay predictions hopefully don't come true. Thanks for joining us.
Took a look down a westbound road, right away I made my choice. Headed out to my big two-wheeler, I was tired of my own boy. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on. $12 out of Mackinac City, stopped in a bar to have a brew. Met a girl, we had a few drinks, and I told her what I decided to do. She looked out the window a long, long moment, then she looked into my eyes. She didn't have to say a thing.